Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your co-hosts. I am John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay. I'm just going to say this at the top that I am under the weather right now, so I might sound more nasally than usual. I might be breathing like I just did into the mic because I can't breathe out of my nose. It's not COVID. It's just a sinus infection. So
fun times.
I appreciate you listening to my sickness in the name of 90 Day Fiance.
All right. So with that being said, let's jump on into it. So this episode had a little bit of family drama, some second wife drama, and traveling to Europe drama. But it seems like we're kind of in that mid-season lull where there's not too much going on, so this should probably be a quicker episode than usual. Is there anyone you want to start it off with?
Do you want to just start with Libby on Andre?
Sure. So
Andre
and Libby. Still funny that her family can't say his name properly. So instead of going to Pam's birthday, they go to a manatee center, and what a great decision that was.
That looks so much fun. They brought Andre's dad. It just looked really, really cute. They were feeding the fishies and petting the stingrays and stuff. It's a very Florida thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very very good point there. Also, I thought it was pretty funny how Andre was like, well, I'm happy we didn't go to the zoo. And it's like, how ironic that you're seeing animals and also using the zoo analogy for Libby's Libby's family.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. Like, we're here and not zoo at Pam's party. So,
as you already know, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. So, was I the only one who thought that Pam's birthday was going to be like this extravagant event that like was at like a huge restaurant, like a banquet hall, and then it's literally just like a family dinner?
No, I mean, I imagined it would only be them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be like this crazy big thing.
I thought it was going to be this huge party, like it's our 60th, let's get wild, like with the DJ and stuff like that.
Nah. So we'll we'll see. But yeah, so Becky is there with Thomas, her husband, Jen, and then Megan and Charlie come to the birthday party as well. Becky said that she understands why Libby is hesitant on attending when Charlie is there. Well, obviously. And then Jen also says that she is nervous about Charlie showing up to the party.
Jen says it multiple times that she has PTSD about seeing Charlie, which is like kind of fucked up for people that actually suffer from PTSD.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, it's a traumatic event that happened, and it's definitely scary. They haven't seen him since it happened, so it's still the drama hanging over everyone's head.
Definitely.
So Charlie and Megan show up, and right away, he's just like stirring the pot. Just, how are things going in the year and a half I haven't seen you? Oh, you don't know what it's like to be canceled by the family.
But even when they first walked in, it was like super awkward. Everyone was just like, hi.
It was also,
and then like just stared at each other. No one really said anything.
Also, I thought it was strange that their kids were there, but Becky's kid wasn't there. Jen's kids weren't there. Like, they were the only one that brought their children.
Guess they couldn't find a babysitter.
The truck wasn't available.
Wasn't available to watch all of the children, only some of the children. Yeah, but it was definitely a very awkward arrival. And then to Lindsay's point, Jen is just there not as a forgiveness, but more so for her mom. And then Becky and Jen both think that Charlie and Andre handled the situation incorrectly, which is probably true, but it's obviously Charlie being the instigator on everything, as he always is.
I mean, Becky even said it. She said Charlie walked in, was like, call the police, call the police. Like, he went, or maybe, and maybe Jen said it, like, he was there to fight. And then Charlie, of course, goes, no, I wasn't. I wasn't there to fight. It's all Andre, all this stuff. And then we find out that Pam was running her mouth to Charlie, saying that Andre said this and Andre said that. And Jen and Becky were like, that never happened. What are you talking about? So Pam is stirring the pot.
Yeah, she is. So not a good move by Pam. She was like, whoa, like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, you did say that. What do you mean? But as always, Charlie, spin doctor, spinning it to make everything sound like it's Andre's fault. And it seemed like almost by the end of it that they were like all in an agreement.
They were. They all agreed that Andre is keeping Libby away from the family and that she doesn't have a mind of her own and it's all Andre or the highway. And Charlie just kept feeding that, like, well, Libby's not the same. She only listens to Andre. He's an instigator. He drinks as much as I do. And he kept going on. And by the end of it, like, both Jen and Becky and Pam were all agreeing with Charlie.
Yeah. Which, like, how, like, obviously neither one of them is really right in the situation. But it's just like they're, like, Pam especially is just defending her son's actions when she can clearly see that something wrong is going on. But she's just a mother in denial, which is what we've seen the last couple episodes.
Yeah, it's terrible. So that family is just so fucked up. This was last episode that we didn't cover when Becky said she hopes Andre gets deported at the dance studio.
Yeah, and like laughed.
Yeah.
And Libby's like, well, that's fucked up.
It is fucked up. But really, I mean, I think they're really trying to get this family Libby show that has been rumored for a while. And I think, you know, with Pedro and Chantel on the outs getting a divorce, maybe they think this is their time. But hopefully we still get a family Chantel without Pedro, just saying. So
that would be pretty hilarious, and I would definitely be all for that.
As Kim Kardashian said about Kourtney Kardashian, she's the least interesting to look at, aka Pedro, and I don't give a fuck about him. So,
wow, ruthless.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, who would you like to move to next?
Do you want to go to Jovi?
Jovi and Yara? Sure. So with Jovi and Yara, they're going for their green card approval for Yara. Jovi was up till 3 a.m. getting everything together, and he couldn't find the marriage certificate.
I feel like that's the most important thing you need to have, and you don't have it.
I feel like that at the end of the day would be like the Trump card. Like, see here, we're legally married. Like, yeah, everything's there. Like, if they're like trying to dock like anything else, you can just be like, well, I have this.
It's just so weird to me that he didn't have that. Like, it's just so strange.
Yeah, I agree.
And so they're driving to like downtown New Orleans, I guess. And Yara says she's not excited to get her green card because she feels like it's useless and she can't go home to the Ukraine.
Yeah, and at the moment she has a broken heart because of what's going on with the war, which is, you know, pretty obvious to sympathize with her on that front. And she even says, like, the point of the green card is to go back, but, like, what's the point now, like Lindsay said.
Yeah, I feel like she was so excited to get her green card to go back home, show Milo where she's from, all this stuff, and now she can't do that. So right. It really sucks. And I mean, you can tell on her face that she's just not in a good headspace. She's really just like down in the dumps, not happy.
Right. No, 100%. So they come out of, I guess, the courthouse. Or
yeah, wherever they are.
Yeah, and they are, or Yara is, approved. And
she's approved. The only thing they needed to see was Mila's birth certificate.
Yeah, they like joked. All they asked was where they live, Jovi's birth, about Mila, showed some pictures, and that was it.
It was like, oh, you have a daughter together? Okay, you're legally married.
And what was actually lucky for her is that because it got delayed. So since it was after 2 years, so now her green card is valid for 10 years. So she has a 10-year green card she met the threshold by 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it's wild.
It's so pretty clutch.
I guess they give you like a temporary green card.
Yeah.
For 2 years, but because of COVID, she gets her like legal status or whatever it is. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't feeling well. And now her green card's valid for 10 years.
Yeah, and because of this, now she says that once she gets their green card, so she'll get the green card in probably like 2 weeks or so, is what their lawyer said. So Yara wants to go back ASAP and visit her mom in Prague, Czech Republic, and Jovi wants her to wait until he gets back from work.
So I see both sides of this. She wants to go back. She wants to see her mom. She wants to help as much as possible. But Jovi doesn't want her to go alone. So I see, like, you know, I would want to go back too, especially be with my mom, be with my country that's going through this. But also, like, you need to think realistically, like, who's going to take care of Mila while you're there? If you're doing all this stuff, like,
right.
Who is going to pay for it? Who's going to do all this stuff? So it's a lot that she has to think about, but her mindset is she's going to Europe.
Right, exactly. So at this point, we get to their next scene, and Jovi wants to go out and celebrate. And
he's ready to drink. Is what he says.
And Yara just wants to go out with her friends. So because of this, Jovi goes ahead and joins Yara and her friends.
I guess this is a regular occurrence, too, where Jovi just joins Yara and her friends because they're going out.
Well, it seems like, oh, you're going out? I guess I'll go out.
Yeah, it's a little strange. So her friends are there. Pixie, Dixie, and Dot. I don't know their names.
Sure.
What are their names?
I actually didn't write them down this time.
It's the same two from earlier, and then some other one, which I think she's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
The new friend.
Yeah, she is.
And essentially, they just start talking about how Jovi always joins Yara, and how he's controlling, and how Yara wants to go to Europe without Jovi, and her friends are like, there's nothing wrong with that. And then Yara goes to the bathroom, and Jovi's like, so which one of you told her to get a breast implant? And I was like, bro, can we focus on one storyline right now?
Who told her to get the fake boobs?
Yeah, it was so weird.
But then he also asks the friends to side with him about Yara going to Europe. And I mean, I do understand his side of this, and I don't think it's a controlling thing. He even says, like, he trusts Yara, but he's concerned about her safety and Mila's safety, like, going back to Europe, given the current climate. Because, I mean, at this time, we didn't really know if this war was going to continue to other countries, how far was it going to go. Was there going to be, you know, border restriction as to where you can go and where you can't go? So I do agree with Jovi saying, you know, wait for me. And if you already have to wait 2 weeks to be able to get your green card in the mail from the government, what's another week or two to wait for him to come back from work? And then all three of you go there together. I think that just makes more sense. At least from my standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. But we'll see if she actually goes without him. I doubt it. I feel like she's going to travel like an hour with Mila and be like, I can't do this on my own. I mean, she was complaining that Miss Gwen doesn't even help her when Jovi's away at work. So what does she think? She can go to Europe by herself with a kid.
And like, what are you realistically going to do to like help?
That's my whole thing. I don't understand, like, Yeah, but she's going to go to Budapest, and I understand, like, it's right near Ukraine, but you're not going to go to the border. Like, no. You can probably help people, like, get food and shelter and stuff while you're in Budapest, but at the same time, like, what, you can't do that with an 18-month-old.
No.
So it's like, I don't know. I understand wanting to go there, but I understand Jovi more.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, and I hope that she eventually waits for him to get back to work, but we'll see. Anything else on their front?
I don't think so. If this is their whole storyline, though, I'm like, we already, like, lived through this. Like, the war is still happening. It really sucks. Like, I don't really need to relive it through someone's eyes who are is like completely heartbroken.
That's fair.
It's making me depressed.
All right. So with that being said, you want to head over to Bilal and Shida first, since they don't really have much going on.
Yeah, I literally wrote two sentences.
Yeah, about I have them. Like four.
You know what? I also just realized that Jenny and Cement weren't in this episode.
No, they're doing Kama Sutra.
Well, that's in the next time on. I know you didn't see. So
for Bilal and Shida, it starts with Shida having a mouth fetish, as I called it.
It's fucking weird.
You brush your teeth so much that you're taking the enamel off.
Her dentist psycho. Literally told her that she brushed her teeth too much, that she had to stop because she's taking the enamel off. And now she's hyper-focused on a clean tongue. And Bilal told her that if she continues to brush her tongue like that, she's going to lose all her taste buds.
Yeah.
But now I see why they're together, because they're both fucking weird. Both obsessive compulsive about random ass shit.
That doesn't, well, I mean, it matters, but.
But there's, like, your tongue,
there's a time and a place.
Your tongue. I brush my tongue.
That's where they say the actual bad breath comes from.
Of course it is. And when you get tonsil stones and stuff. But at the same time, you don't need to brush that shit for 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I brush my teeth like 3 or 4 times a day. But that's also because I have Invisalign. And if I didn't have Invisalign, I'd probably do it 2 or 3 times a day.
But you're also like 100% she was using like the Crest whitening ultra 3D power that like you're not supposed to use that eats at your enamel.
Yeah,
all this shit,
a little crazy, a little too much.
I understand now the way she acted in this episode. I was like, I totally get their relationship now. But 90 Day OG tricked me, and now happily ever after is showing me who they really are.
That's fair. So that covers the mouth part of the,
which is episode. Like such a weird way. I'm still going on about this. Such a weird way to start their scenes.
Yeah, it was just very awkward.
It had nothing to do with the storyline. It was just like, I brush my teeth so much, my enamel is gone, and now I brush my tongue for 5 fucking minutes.
So Bilal and Shida are not seeing eye to eye on babies.
How surprising.
It's been going on for a year now. Shida calls her friend Uterus, if I said that correctly.
I think
probably not.
Uterus, yeah.
And the two of them discuss the baby situation that's going on between Bilal and Shida.
So Uterus is Shida's best friend from Trinidad. And they start talking about when she wants to have a baby, about all this stuff. And her friend says at some point, like, oh, I knew a couple that he didn't want a kid. And it was the same exact story.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is not helping her at all.
No, definitely not. And it also seemed like from that standpoint, it was essentially like, Shida now is like caught in this mix of if she like should stay or if she should not stay, and it's like she's really pressing at this point. So that's what brings us to their second scene, which had a little bit more information, because they go to the fertility doctor.
Which I don't understand why you go to a fertility doctor without even trying to have a child.
I guess to see if you're able to.
So I do agree with, I almost call him Usman. I agree with, this is how sick I am right now. I agree with Bilal that they need to get to know each other before they pop out a kid.
Yeah. At least a year. Like, give it a year.
A year. I mean, I get she's 37, whatever, but give it a year. You were with him for a week in Trinidad. COVID hit. You came to Kansas City and got married in 90 days.
Yeah.
It's asinine. So yeah. They're at the fertility doctor and they're talking about she wants a baby. Oh, sorry. One thing we forgot is when she's talking to her friend, she brings up the fact that she put in the prenup that they need to start trying for a kid at 40. And if Bilal doesn't hold up his side of the bargain, she's taking him to court.
It's like, what are they going to say in court?
Like, they're going to be like, okay, well, don't know nothing what we to can tell do here. So back with the doctor, they're talking about having a baby. The doctor's like, oh, are you trying? And they're like, no,
not really.
And then, he's like, so are you regular? And she goes, yeah, I'm very regular. I get my period every 21 days. And he was like,
wait, what?
He was like, 28? She's like, no, 21. He's like, all right, that's not regular. Like, you're not ovulating at the correct time or even ovulating at all.
Yeah.
And that's how you have a baby. And like, she didn't get it.
No, not at all. And he was also saying how, like, regular is 26 to 30 days. So yeah. Because she's so far off of that, even though it's like 5 to 10 days off. That's a lot, especially in this type of situation. That's a lot.
So essentially, if you're a male and you don't know how ovulation works, so periods, which a lot of men don't like talking about, is the shedding of your uterine line or uterine, whatever it's called, shedding of your uterus. Essentially, your uterus is pissed off because you didn't have a baby this month, so it bleeds. So that's where you get a period from. Jonathan is squirming right now.
Is that enough? Are we done?
So 2 weeks before that is when your egg actually drops into your fallopian tube. I actually don't know if this is correct at all. But your egg is readily available. That is 14 days in your cycle. And you usually have about 5 days to get pregnant because that's when your egg is ready. So essentially what's happening with Shida is that she's getting off her period and then like a week goes by and then she might be ovulating, might not be ovulating.
Yeah, he said like she's ovulating for like a day, maybe two.
Like 3 days max. And then she's getting her period again, which is not good.
No. So she also wanted to see like if she was high risk. And then with all of this information and because of her age and everything that's going on, the doctor wants to get labs on her in terms of blood work and all that fun stuff.
The best part is the doctor's saying all of this, like, I want to get labs. I want to make sure you're safe. Like, obviously you're over the age of 35. It's more high risk. And Bilal's response is, so you're telling me that like we can wait a year? It's like, no, not at all.
He's like, yeah, we still want to wait given all of these factors.
It's like, if anything, the doctor was like, you should start trying now. And Bilal was just like,
Seemed like the doctor was like, you should get to know each other, but also if you want to have a kid, like, you got to do it pretty soon. So, but yeah, that's... I mean, it's pretty much their whole storyline is, are they going to have a kid? Are they not going to have a kid? And it's been going on like this for the last like 14 of their episodes between the two seasons. But yeah, anything else on these two?
I don't think so. I'm just kind of really, really sick of them.
All right, so without Jenny and Submit, let's go to our last couple of the episode. Kimbali and Usman, aka Soulja Boy. So it is Usman, aka Soulja Boy's birthday party.
Woo!
And if Kimberly misbehaves, he will cancel Sokoto altogether.
So the best part is they go to this like club and all of his friends are there. And they all call him international. I guess for like international superstar Usman.
Yeah, but international superstar Usman, aka Soulja Boy.
But they just call him international. So, but
it's like this guy is international. Come on,
he's internet. They all say it. They
it's
all
hilarious. It's so funny.
My main thing was, where was Slam T and Badmas? Because they are the only two I care about.
Yeah, I don't know where Slam T is. I think he was like, I don't want to go because Kim's gonna go and Kim's gonna yell at me. It's kind of what I think.
So KB shows up. He's the friend that Kim threw the milkshake at Usman, like in front of him, and she apologizes to him.
Yeah, she pulls him to the side, apologizes, tried to explain her side of the situation and like why she did that, which I think was a nice gesture from her side, given that with her throwing the milkshake in Usman's face, it definitely put a bad taste in KB's mouth in terms of them being together. But it seems like after this conversation, he was like a little more receptive and a little more open to her. So I think it was overall a good conversation and a necessary conversation at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. So KB's like, all right, she's chill. It's a hard situation. I get it. And Usman says that there's going to be lots of ladies and she needs to be cool.
Yeah, I'm sure, my guy.
I don't know.
Whatever works for you. But then Kim and KB come back. And then Usman didn't mention, but he invited a female friend, Ali, to the party. And what was probably the funniest thing is that she said that she thinks something is fishy if she were to see Usman and Kim walking down the street.
That was hilarious. Like, what's fishy? That he wants a green card? Yes, I know.
He wants to come to the U.S. and actually be an international superstar.
And Ali also says that Usman can get any woman he wants. He's an international superstar.
Which I can't imagine.
The same. I don't get it.
He's like low-key overweight.
I don't know.
He's got like an awkward body.
He's just weird. He's weird. I don't get him. Yeah.
It seemed like Kim and Ali were talking, though. Seemed like they were vibing a little bit together.
So Kim switches seats with KB, and they're
she's like, I want to talk to her.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit. And she's like, no, we're the only females, like all this stuff. I was like, damn, Kim's pretty chill. Like,
if she's the life of the party.
Party? Kimberly's got to be there. So the next scene is, anything else about this party? I'm just jumping.
No, I think that was pretty much it. They get to the next scene where it seems like everybody enjoyed the party.
Yeah, so Kim's hungover from the party, but she got that birthday yammy, which I did not need to know at all.
Yeah, so they're going to have a romantic dinner before heading to Sokoto. So birthday yammy, and Kim thought she was going into the next room because of the headboard banging. Between I was like, this, I think that's a little too much information, please.
Between this and Jenny and Summit wanting to call the hotel to tell them that the bed squeaks too much in last week's episode, I'm done hearing about everyone's sex life.
Yeah, just so like open about it to the whole country.
I don't know. I don't get it. So Kim is like, I know this is supposed to be a romantic night, but I have questions about the second wife, so I'm gonna ask them all.
Yeah, and so they sit down and she's like, oh, romantic dinner, it's pepper catfish soup, it looked like.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this is great for a hangover. Yeah. Like, I get that. When you're hungover, all you want is like a greasy ass cheeseburger.
Of course, because all of the chemicals and everything in it offsets, but she said it was very spicy, so I guess that's good.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we should try it.
Nah, I think I'll pass all on right. The catfish.
So they are talking. So Kim's like asking about the second wife, like, oh, does she get all the love? That's what you said. Or the first wife get the love? Like, she's asking all these questions she's had that Usman apparently has not answered correctly.
Right, right, exactly. And I think that the one part that really stood out to Kim was when they were discussing things, Usman made probably one of the only good points he's ever made. But he did make the point of, how would Kim feel if he didn't want to see Jamal or be associated with Jamal in any way? And she was just like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, I'd be pissed off. Like, that's a really great point.
I mean, I get where she's coming from, because she says she doesn't want anything to do with his child. But if you are allowing him to have a child with someone else, like, he's still your husband.
Yeah.
You should still, like, have be in that child's life and everything. Like, it shouldn't be a whole separate world. I mean, but that's what she wants, so.
Yeah, I think, too, like, obviously, like, in the States, it's a very, like, different way of doing it, because it's, like, you get divorced and then you get a second husband. So it's just like, if you were to put those two things together.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
So, like, I don't know if there's a way for him to, like, position it that way of, like, well, hey, like, or a lot of people get divorced and get married very quickly thereafter.
Yeah, they do. So I don't know. I guess it's just comfortability.
Yeah. And she was also saying, like, to that point, after the second wife, she didn't want to be from America because it would feel like too close to home. So she essentially wants Usman to have a wife in Nigeria, her in the States, and then him go back and forth between the two.
Which, like, you don't think the United States would be like, what the fuck are you doing, first off?
I guess you get, what is it, every, like, 4 months or 6 months or something? So.
But Usman goes, well, if she's, you know, his religion, and if she's Nigerian, like, I couldn't marry someone, or I could get with someone else in the United States. And that's when things start getting heated again.
Yeah, and she's like, you don't understand all the sacrifices that I've made. And then he's like, I'm doing 18, you're doing 20.
Yeah, he was, like, yelling at her that,
I say no to all of these girls, I say yes to you.
It was just wild.
It's just, like, the typical argument that they always have is, like, I'm doing more than you, and it's like, no, I'm doing more than you, and it's like, how about you just meet in the middle and say, like, you're both doing stuff, like.
Yeah, like, what if you just say, like, we love each other equally, and we're doing this for each other, like, I don't know, they are.
I think the compromise, though, is having a wife in Nigeria, having a wife in America. I think that's a pretty good compromise. I don't know if anybody else agrees, disagrees. But yeah, because in, you know, our culture, like, it's not accepted what at all, at least.
No, I mean,
in the majority of us.
Are they going to be on Seeking Sister Wives?
Yeah, like, no, we're not, like, into all that, so. I think it's a compromise. I think Kim understands that Usman wants to have kids. She can't provide that. So this is kind of a way, you know, for her to be able to have him be able to have children. So that's kind of how the episode ends, I guess, so to say, is them arguing and bickering about this, which it seems like is going to continue.
As always. And then that's pretty much it. It was a slow episode. It was very Angie and the other guy heavy.
We don't talk about that.
No, I mean, if you want to see the prime reason why we don't talk about Angela, watch the final 5 minutes of last week's episode.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay, so next time on, Jonathan didn't watch this. So Jenny and Simic go to a Kama Sutra yoga class.
Ooh.
More sex talk with Jenny and Simic. Bilal and Shida argue about a baby, as usual. And Bilal is scared Shida will leave. So that's, like, part of the reason I would say he doesn't want to have a baby.
Yep.
Usman talks to his mom about Kim, and his mom asks how old Kimbali is. And then Andre talks with his lawyer about the green card renewal, and she says about 95% of her clients you know, just get a paper and it's renewed, and that someone might have reported him and he could be deported.
Which is absolutely ridiculous.
Imagine it was someone in Libby's family. That's
it obviously up. Was Charlie.
Fucking Charlie.
I mean, that's at least that's what I'm going with.
Well, that's,
we'll see.
That's what 90 Day Fiancé wants you to go
true.
With.
Very true.
Anything else? I'm kind of over this season already.
I wouldn't say I'm over it. I'm just ready for kind of the turn into the second half of the season.
Yeah, it's the same storyline.
The middle, like, episode, like, 5 through 10 is kind of like, yeah. Same stuff kind of going on. And then you get, like, a little spike here and there. So
yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely dragging right now.
Yeah.
And pretty boring, so to say. Doesn't look like we get Jovi and Yara next week, so
no,
will probably be another short episode for us. But thank you for listening. Sorry, that was disgusting. Thank you for listening. Sorry, I'm sick and sound gross right now. Thank you for letting us take a week off. It was much needed, hence why I'm sick right now.
Woo.
Follow us on Instagram, 90day_ourway. Listen to the JK pod if Jonathan's still doing it. We're trying to determine that. Anything else from you?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Just thank everybody for listening, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week.
Bye.